They are always such a blessing. And this was Liberty's first day out, you know. So that's exciting. I'll be anxious to look at the video later on, you know, when it comes out on the internet. Because you have the best vantage point when it comes to watching the little ones do their thing. You know, kids, babies are the funniest little creatures. They really are. They're the funniest things. And, you know, we used to have to, either record or wait for America's Funniest Videos. Well, now that's on steroids, because all you got to do is go on the internet and start watching all of these things. And it's just so funny to watch the little guys and all the things that they do. When they're first born, of course, they love milk. Absolutely love milk. And they have milk in the morning, milk at noon, and milk at supper time, and any time and every time in between. They get hungry. They are very happy to get milk. Now, we've been watching our grandson for the last few months, little fat Bowen. And I tell you what, he loves milk, and that he does. Now, he loves to spit it up a little bit, too, on his grandmother's. But he loves milk, and he has a good, good appetite for milk. But you give these little guys just a few years, and mom then is, of course, not nursing her babies anymore. She gets up and she makes breakfast. Maybe she makes some eggs, toast, hash browns, and milk. And you know what happens? That little one comes in and says, "I don't want that. I want cereal." Cereal. You know how long it took, you know, and they want cereal. Well, mom gets up the next morning and she makes cereal. And the kid walks in and says, "Is this all we're having?" You mothers, can you relate to that? Is this all we're having? It seems a quantum leap of selfishness takes place between the very little bitty guys and when they're now waddling around the house. I know that many of you, most of you, have experienced this very thing. But have you further observed that most people, or at least some people, many people, do not get over this selfishness as they grow older in their life? It's sort of like training pants they were never able to get the victory over in their lives. And there's nothing that seems so unbecoming as a grown man acting like a big baby. I said, there's nothing like a big man, grown man, acting like a little baby. It's very unbecoming. So they're no longer little babies, now they're big babies, and they whine and complain when things don't go their way or how they think things should not be done. Of course, they're not the boss, but they still want to be the boss. Never considering other people's opinions or their likes or other people's perspective in life. Their wife gets up in the morning, of course, and she makes them a good breakfast, and they complain about the eggs being too salty. Yeah. She buys a very nice and pretty dress, fixes herself up real pretty. She makes a reservation at a fine restaurant, and when she springs to surprise, he says, "Well, they charge too much." And he doesn't appreciate all that his wife has done to keep their marriage alive and well. Now, most of us men have taken our good wives for granted, and I'm one of those. Certainly, many times I have taken my good wife for granted. You know, most of us men have gotten better than we deserve. I wouldn't talk ugly about you, but there it is. Most of us have gotten better than what we deserve. And far more, we are blessed by what we receive than what we normally give. Now, I know, before you write me any ugly emails this afternoon, I know it works the other way around. I know men are also taken for granted. Husbands are also taken for granted. I understand that, but I'm usually meaner to men than I am to women. We've all felt in our lives taken for granted, in our marriages, in our ministries, in military service. We've had many people here who've served in the military. In our communities and community efforts, we felt taken for granted. In the job place, More often than not, it seems like most people feel like they're taken for granted. In our relationships, in our friendships, you know, we feel often that we're taken for granted, and even in the world. I think it goes not only to individuals, but I think it goes to us as a nation as well. America, I believe, is taken for granted. These United States are taken for granted. It is here that most people in the world seem they want to come live here, not in other places that everybody says is so great. The world is better off. Let me just go ahead and say it. The world is better off because of America. And what she has done around the world, from France to Mexico, Argentina to Afghanistan, Iraq, Indonesia. But does the world really appreciate the goodness of America? Not as much as they should. Not as much as they should. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like the fact that many times our countrymen and women now fight to defend our nation, and then citizens of this good nation who benefit from the countless benefits of those soldiers turn around and spit on them or dishonor them in some way. I just think I would have to agree with that old country song, "You're walking on the fighting side of me." Now, I know what it's like to be taken for granted. And although I know that I am, as a Christian, to consider this glory to suffer for Christ's sake and for the Lord, I would be the biggest liar in town if I said I like it. I may know that I need to do it and I need to persevere in it and I need to honor Christ in it, but I'd be a liar if I told you I liked it. No, we don't like it at all. Now, I know, believe me, I know that I am far from perfect. I am a sinner saved by grace. I'm far from perfect. And what I have done for others is never done perfectly. I never get it 100% right. Never do I do that. Now, there is a big difference between me being taken for granted and everything I do is still imperfect, and God being taken for granted and everything He does is 100% perfect. So which would be the greater harm for us taking one another and each other maybe for granted when what we do, even in our best efforts, are still imperfect, or taking God for granted and everything He does for us is 100% perfect? Which is a greater wrong and a greater worry? Well, in comparison to sinful, imperfect mankind, how much more does God feel taken for granted? The other day, I spent some time talking about the heart of God. Do you know that we can hurt God's feelings? Do you know that we can grieve the Lord our God? Did you know that? Did you know that He can cry? Did you know that He certainly can feel taken for granted? Now, of all the persons in the world that we could take for granted, the one who deserves the greatest of our attention and our appreciation in all of the world is the Lord our God. It is the Lord our God who deserves all the praise, all the glory, all the recognition, all of the honor that we could possibly muster. The other day, I understand the yokels, they were able to see even better than most of us, some of the northern lights. That's a gift from God. We go out and we get out of the city and we can see the stars, those God-given diamonds on the black velvet sky. And we stand there and we just, wow. Or we travel and we go up to see the huge redwood forest up in Northern California. And even the old men stand at the bottom of those trees and look up at those trees and they say, wow, that's a big tree. And they look and they sound like a small 5-year-old boy staring at the wonders of Almighty God. Then we turn our attention to the spiritual realities of the things that the Lord has provided. And the most significant of that is life eternal, the salvation of our souls. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 103 this morning. As much as we like for others to appreciate us, we are people with many imperfections. Yet God, being perfect, He wants to be appreciated. He deserves to be appreciated more than anyone else and before anyone else. Further, God deserves to be appreciated and praised from our whole heart. I mean, everything that we have to give. That's one of the reasons I like to sing loud. I want everybody to know that I believe my God is worthy of my praise and worthy of yours. That's why I sing a little loud just for you, to kind of get you going a little bit too. So He deserves it from our whole heart, from our whole being. And that's what we're going to see here this morning. Psalm 103, let's begin at verse 1, of course. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. In other words, He's just. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, thank the Lord, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all ye, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, we don't have the time this morning necessarily to run through this whole particular psalm, but it's loaded with instruction and blessing. And I'd like to draw your attention to about four or five verses from the top this morning. Now, notice, first of all, the children of God are called to bless the Lord. Now, if you're not a child of God, I want you to know today you could become a child of God by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you're a child of God here this morning, as a member or a guest of this church today, I want you to know that God calls you to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord in verse 1, O my soul and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. If you're going to bless the God of heaven, you've got to be prepared to bless the Holy One. Not the carnal one. Not the corrupt one. Not the faddish one, but the Holy One of heaven. And when we come to worship Him, we need to be coming to worship Him who is high and holy and lifted up. Not Him who is, in Bermuda shorts and flip-flops. Bless His holy name. So the Christian calls upon his own soul. In all of our faculties and all of our powers, we are to bring to praise and glorify his holy name, to magnify his name for his mercies. One of the greatest preachers of all times, in my mind, was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, called the Prince of Preachers, and he earned that title. Man, was he eloquent. Man, was he eloquent. I read his messages and I just stand in awe at his skill with the English language. But this is what he said. Bless the Lord, O my soul, is a command for the believer to stir up their inmost being to praise God, a necessary and intentional act of wholehearted worship. Now listen, that engages all faculties and emotions. He emphasizes that this is a response to God's blessing, a song of gratitude and praise that should not be half-hearted, but comprehensive, and a conscious choice to magnify God's holy name. You know, walking with God, not just on Sunday morning, but each and every day, is what gives us Christians a bounce in our step. We should not be striving to walk with God on Sunday morning only, but striving to walk with God each and every day of our lives. And if we do that, we get up and we're looking to praise the God who gives us strength to be able to get up out of bed each and every day. You'll be amazed at the renewed bounce in your step if we'll learn to walk with God every day. Visiting with God is good. Even visiting with God on occasion is better than not visiting God at all. But I'm here to tell you, visiting with God on occasion will leave you with other days of great discouragement and possibly depression. That's right. God never designed His children to walk with Him only on Sunday. God never designed us to do that. And if we cheat ourselves, and we are cheating ourselves, if we do not walk with God every day of our lives, and we're putting ourselves, we're putting our families, we're putting our loved ones and our neighbors at higher risk by not doing so. You know, spiritual dullness is our doing. If we find our life in a state of dullness, that's not God doing that. That's when we have made other decisions. Hear God's word calls His children to prevent spiritual dullness and the lack of spiritual energy by calling all Christians to call upon yourselves. Don't wait for somebody else to call you. You call yourselves unto praise to God each and every morning. And you shouldn't say it needs some loudmouth speaker at 5:30 to get the job done. Now this is intended to engage the whole person. He stressed all that is within me. Everything you've got is called upon. Every faculty should participate in the praise of God. Everything. Somebody said, even my face, especially your face. Every emotion, everything we have should be united in chorus of adoration to God and thanksgiving. And let me tell you, if you find yourself even periodically plagued with depression or sadness, right here is your answer. It is not, listen, and I understand there are medical issues, but it is not just another pill. It is, listen, it is not the bar. Your answer is right here. Learn to walk with God and praise His name every day. It'll change your life. It will absolutely change your life. Now notice number two, the call to remembrance. He says in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, here of late, my sweet wife, she's like a recorder that never shuts up. And all that she says, morning and evening, did you remember to take your medicine? 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 Did you remember to take your meds? Did you remember to take your medicine? Woof! Well, I didn't, because she was reminding me. And she was always there to remind me, did you take your medicine? And now she's got her phone, and she's got a little ditty, a little song that comes up. And I'm surprised that it doesn't say, did you remember to take your medicine? Now, one of you engineers, you're going to send us a recording for her to pick up and play. Did you remember to take your medicine? Why does she do that? She loves me, and she knows it's pretty important right now that I take the medicines that the doctor prescribed. You know, having open heart surgery and what they prescribe for you afterwards is pretty serious stuff. And she wants me to hang around a while, and she wants me to take the prescribed medicines that the doctor has given me. And she reminds me, you're not the doctor. You're supposed to take this. And she's right. We as sinners have a problem of remembering all the wrong. And I don't know what I said. Huh? I said, she's right? Oh, you want me to say it again? No. She's right some of the time. We as sinners have a problem. And one of those problems is remembering all the wrong and hardly ever remembering all the right. And I think if we'll be honest with ourselves, we would agree that we all have that same tendency. Something bad happens in our life and we want to dwell on that for the next 20 years. I've worked with married couples who are holding a grudge for things that are over 30 years old. We certainly have a problem of remembering all the wrong and never remembering all the right and the good things that take place. You know, Philippians 4, 8 and 9 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard, seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. A little bit of a condition there, right? So does it really matter what we think on? What we dwell on? Does that affect you? It affects us profoundly. Our sister, bless her heart, just sang this song, and it's an old song, but I love it, and I believe I've sang it myself. While the world looks upon me as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. Although I'm not wealthy and these clothes, they're not new, I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. To me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. in our homes and in your homes, I am for Christians putting things up on their walls or on their counters or on their shelves that help us to remember the things that we need to remember. Scripture and other things, maybe Christian poems or quotes of Scripture, all of those things are there to remind us of the Lord and His goodness to our life. I am for singing songs of faith that we need to memorize, basically, because if you're going to sing them, you don't always have a hymn book around, do you? And so we need to memorize songs that are a particular blessing to our life, and we can sing those songs. If nobody else wants to listen, listen to them yourself and sing these songs because they help you to remember. They help me to remember to praise the Lord and to do that on a daily basis. And we need these reminders. Now, when we forget the many, many, many benefits of the Lord, we start failing to be the type of person the Lord wants us to be. And if I could give you the greatest theological terms in my life that I have learned, I'll give it to you. It'll make you a grumpy grunt. How do you like that? You say, what does that mean in the Hebrew? Grunt, grumpy. That's what it means. Backwards, you know. But if we praise the Lord as we should, it'll not only change who we are, it will change how we're perceived by others. Amen. You know, arrogant, self-serving, proud, ungrateful little imps are ugly creatures. And people tolerate us, but they don't like to be around us because we're very unpleasant. And that's what happens when we start to forget the multiple blessings of God and all of His benefits. You know, it's an old word, but it's still a good word. It's not a good word in one sense, I guess, of an ingrate. Who wants to be an ingrate? One who's not thankful, just always assuming, presuming. It's shameful to be known as an ingrate. Romans 13:7 says, render therefore to all their dues. Over and over again in this great psalm we find, I will not forget, I will not forget, I will not forget. Now why? Because we have a tendency to forget. And he says, I will not forget, I promise, I will not forget, I will not forget, I will not forget, I will not forget. But how easily we forget. You know, we have few still left of the veterans of World War II. Certain have many veterans of Korean War and Vietnam War. What happened in 9/11. But how quickly our nation, our people of this nation, forget what it takes to have freedom in this country. There's a serious and heavy price for what we enjoy in this land. But how quickly we forget. It seems like forgetting is Americans' favorite pastime. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. That little lady that used to cut my hair years ago down in Garland, Texas, when she was 16 years old, she was sold in her country for $100 by friends of her family to, well, but say friend, to a soldier who was already married and wanted to have a woman overseas. Mistreated and abused and finally left with the story that her man had died, which was a lie. He had not died. He's just moving on. Now she was in a position to raise a baby all by herself with shame in that culture and disgrace. She's not able to afford milk, so she put water in rice and sugar and squeezed it to make something for the baby to have to eat, lest her baby boy would die. She told me this story, and I was praying for her. And her, of course, her concern was now for her grown baby boy, her son, who had turned very angry towards the world, and towards his mother, and even towards God. Now, as I was praying for her, I had my arm around her, and I could feel her little body, little thin little body, quivering against my shoulder as she sobbed, remembering those horrible years of plight years ago, which still had a residue in her heart. But she was yet so very grateful for the rice and grateful for the air and grateful to live in America where she could freely tell the story to a young preacher as he sat in her chair to have his hair cut. Grateful for the water to drink, and even in her distress, she was thankful for God's protection. And she'd come somewhat of a fireball of a little preacher. And I don't mean a vocational preacher, but I mean someone declaring God's word. And this is the same one, by the way, that used to always say to me, "You won't be electrician, you can be electrician. You won't be plumber, you can be plumber. You won't be painter, you can be painter. You won't be preacher, you can't be preacher unless God say you be preacher." That's the same woman. Number three, I've got to hurry. There are multiplied reasons for our blessing the Lord and being thankful to Him. Look again at verse 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." There are plenty of things, listen, in life that are the blessings of God. To me, in the text, it looks like they fall into two categories. One is what the Lord takes, and two is what the Lord gives. And let me tell you, sometimes we need to spend a lot more time thanking God for what He has taken away, and then thank God for what He has given us. Well, let's mention just a few of these. Number one, most important, the forgiveness of sins. It is such a blessing. It is such a comfort to your heart. And when you're facing grave danger, to know your sins are forgiven. There's nothing like that in all the world. Now, you can look cross at me all you want to, but I'm telling you, when you come face to face with eternity, you'll be grateful to know all your sins are forgiven. All of them. From cover to cover, from beginning to the end, they are all forgiven. King David, he selects a few jewels to top the list to rehearse to our hearts, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." All of our iniquities are forgiven. The Apostle Paul brought this forward to the Roman Christians in Romans 4, 6 and 7 of David, when he says, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of a man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." Now, not some of my sins are covered. All of them are covered. "For God has forgiven all of our trespasses and our sins, the smallest to the biggest." And listen, I've had some whoppers, and likely you have too. When God forgives us of our sin, He does a complete job according to the atoning grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I love Charles Stanley's book on eternal security, because he came out of an Arminian background. You may not have known that. He came out of a background that thought, wrongfully thought, that you could lose your salvation. But as he was over at Southwest Seminary and studying there and going to a Bible school, he learned in studying the Bible that salvation is the gift of God, and it's for keeps. God eternally saves. And he wrote a little book, and I still give this book out. I share it with others, encourage other people to read it that are questioning whether or not their salvation is secure. And he does really just a masterful job. And one of the things he shared in that book is the fact that if God died for your first sin, he died for your last sin. That's right. If he died for your first sin, he died for your last sin. And I'm here to tell you, he died for your first one and everything in between, as well as your last sin. Not only that, but look at healing. He mentions healing. Now, a good doctor can treat us. And I'm thankful for good doctors. I really, especially now, am thankful for a good doctor. I'm going to make a friend out of that Italian doctor down there in Pensacola, Florida. I promise you. I'm going to go by and see him again. And I hope to build a relationship with him and witness to him. I do. Yeah, I'm here to tell you, they cannot heal you. They can't bring healing. They can sew a few things together and cut some things out, but they cannot bring about healing of our body. That category belongs solely to Almighty God. Only God can heal up a body. Only God can bring those miracles to our life. Psalm 66, verse 2 says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." So here King David's praying in song, "Lord, heal my weakened body, my physical frame. Heal my body." Then he adds in the next verse, the spiritual aspect. In verse 3, when he says, "My soul is also, not only is my body messed up, not only is my body vexed, but my soul is vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long?" Now it's true that when we are physically sick, we can easily become spiritually sick. That's certainly true. Let me give you other occasions of physical sickness in the Psalm. Psalm 38:7. "For my loins are filled with loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh." Psalm 41:8. "An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more." In this world, we're going to have problems in this body. If you don't have many, thank God. But it may come next year. It may come next year. I want you to know, there is one who heals, and it's God. And we need to be thankful. And then redemption from destruction is next, letter C. Now the word destruction is closely connected with this idea of corruption, which is equivalent to the grave. And that's where a body would go. But our bodies as Christians, our bodies are going to be renewed, made brand new. And we're going to get a new body, glorified unto the Lord. And that's not the end of our existence. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the Lord preserves us. Here the psalmist would have us to know, the Lord preserves us from that direction of death and corruption and destruction. The Lord, listen, the business of God is life, not death. That's one of the reasons I am not a fan of Halloween. I'm not a fan of death. As a Christian, I'm a fan of life. Life, life, not death. We have young people which fall into the fad of being fascinated with death. Want to wear all black. Want to paint their fingernails black. Want to dye their hair black when it's red. They're fascinated with death. The Christian should not be fascinated with death. But we ought to be overwhelmed by life eternal with the Lord our God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And boy, when we're sick, we're really yearning for that. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Of course, Peter's writing says, "Forasmuch as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, we are redeemed." The price for our life was our Lord and His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And now I want to get to this part, letter D. Crowning with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now we're talking about not what the Lord has taken from us, the sin, iniquities, all those things. We're talking about what God is going to bestow upon us. And when He puts it on us, boy, He puts it on us big. And you're going to like it. You're going to have whipped cream and a cherry right on top. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Now listen, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with what things? Good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, last night, I reached over to take my medicine. And I was out of drink. And I reached over to a glass that my wife had made. And I looked at that and I wondered, well, what am I going to get? And before I took a sip to put that thing in my mouth and swallow that big gob of pills, I wondered, is this going to be any good? Is this going to be unsweetened tea? Now, I'm here to tell you, God did not ordain unsweetened tea. God has ordained Southern tea. Southern tea. Listen, the Lord is good and He's sweet. And when I drink tea, I do not want unsweetened tea. And this is what she said. You know, she gives you that look. Women have all kinds of looks. Let me tell you, they have all kinds of looks. And she gave me that look. Was like, I'm not so sure you want to drink that. And this is what she said. That's half and half. That's like telling me it's half poison and half good. And I'm far more interested in sweet tea if I'm going to have tea. I'd rather have water than have unsweetened tea. And I'm not a big fan of water. Trust me, I'm not. But here we find God heaps upon us sweet tea. And the sundaes and the strawberries covered in whipped cream. And every good spiritual thing you could possibly imagine. All good things come from God. Listen, all every good, every perfect thing comes from Almighty God. All the more reason we ought to praise His holy name. Praise Him. Letter E, quickly. Satisfaction, guaranteed. Guaranteed. Satisfaction by God is guaranteed. And then with the renewal of God, the Bible says here, thy youth is renewed like the eagles. My hair, years ago when I was in college, started falling out. Now, it didn't bother me as much as it obviously bothers some other church folk. Because they'll come up behind me every once in a while in Christian love and do this. Poking on the back of my head. Talking about my halo. Well, let me tell you, they don't bother me in the slightest. Why? Because I can't see it. You big dummy. I can't see it. So it doesn't bother me at all. And I want you to know, one day, man, I'm going to have the most beautiful head of hair you've ever seen. God's going to renew. Listen, He's going to renew everything and make it good. Make it good. Make it right. Now, believers, I want you to know, we do have a tendency to forget the best things in life. And some of the best things in life you could ever give your attention to are the great benefits of Almighty God. It's very easy for us to do this and take our Lord for granted. Remember the story of the 10 lepers? The Lord told that story and he says, only one. Lepers now, I'm talking about lepers with flesh, you know, bad. He heals them all. And only one came back to say those two little words. That means so much. Thank you. It's a wonderful thing. Brother Houston mentioned this the other day at Teenagers. That here in this nation, we have a special holiday. This nation, a special holiday called Thanksgiving. That we set apart, and I believe rightfully so. Thankfully so. That we set apart to say, thank you, Lord, for your many blessings on me. Let's stand for prayer.